And Dawn, thank you. Dawn's going to help me lead the service this morning. So I hope you've got a copy of the order of service in front of you on this second Sunday of Advent. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Come, Jesus, show us the way. Lead us to greater depths of faith with stronger ties that bind us to your way. Come, Jesus, show us the way amid the chaos and Christmas busyness, turmoil and panic, parcels and paper and presents and tape. Come, Jesus, show us the way. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And in this time of Advent, we confess our sins. Advent, God, John the Baptist called the people to turn from their sins. We come to you to confess what we have done and failed to do, the things that shame and distress us and don't show others the way to you. We fail to meet the vision of Isaiah, who prophesied a new king and a world living in peace and harmony. We confess our failings, seek forgiveness, and yearn to follow a kinder and more generous life, revealing you to those we meet. Advent, God, forgive us, we pray. Amen. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God of the psalmists, of Isaiah, of disciples and apostles, of all those who have gone before us in faith, you hear our prayers and send us onward on our journey, forgiven and loved. Amen. And now Dawn's going to bring us our first reading.
First reading is from Isaiah 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm today, our verse is taken from Psalm 72. Do please join me if you would like to as we read this psalm. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name for ever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Dawn's going to read us our gospel reading.
Our second reading comes from Matthew 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord's paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
I think being out of action this week, I've had more time on my hands, so I'm afraid this is rather longer than usual. Well, this year I have done things differently. I am usually 10 days before Christmas woman, but this year we have been fully decorated and lit up for a couple of weeks now, and I've had to give myself a jolly good talking to and admit it's all rather lovely. Actually, there is a reason for it. My granddaughter absolutely loves Christmas and could not understand why I might think it was a good idea to wait. And I realised that this year, more than any other, I needed help getting the decorations down from the loft, and so I would need to fit in with other people and not expect them to fit in with me. So here I am, embracing all the glitter and glamour of Christmas. And sitting at my computer to write this sermon with tree lights shimmering and stars lit up against the window. And then this. It came as a bit of a shock. The gospel comes as a shock. You brood of vipers, John the Baptist says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Those are harsh words. There is nothing sparkly about them. Nor, according to Matthew, is there anything pretty or twinkly about John himself. He wears animal skins, hair of camels, the Greek says vividly, held together with a strip of leather for a belt. He eats locusts and wild honey. He looks like the prophet Elijah. This description of John the Baptist calls up a passage in 2 Kings. When Uzziah, the king, is lying injured, having fallen through the latticework of a room in his palace, he sends messengers to the pagan god Baal Zebub to ask whether he will live or die. A man confronts him on the way. "Is there no God in Israel?" the man says. "Why are you turning to other gods? This is the message you shall take to the king. Therefore, you shall surely die." The king asks the messengers what sort of man he was. "A hairy man," they say, "with a leather belt round his waist." "Ah," says the king, "he knows immediately who it is. That's Elijah." His clothing was camel's hair, Matthew says. The point is clear. John is like Elijah. John is like Elijah, who rebukes the king for forgetting God. John is like Elijah, who, in Jewish expectation at the time of Jesus, would come again when the reign of God was at hand. When Matthew describes John the Baptist as Elijah, he is saying two things. This is a time like that time. People are forgetting God. There is need for repentance. This is the time Israel has been waiting for. The reign of God is at hand. And this is exactly what John says when he first comes on the scene. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the people saw John in his hairy skin with a leather belt round his waist, eating locusts like a man of the desert, they would have known exactly what this meant. This is the day. This is the day of Elijah, the day when God's reign is coming. And they would have heard the question John was asking. Are you ready? Are you ready? Can you stand before the face of the living God? When John the Baptist comes in from the wilderness towards the Jordan, he is a countercultural force. Whatever his struggle and his story, it's clear that he is no longer trying to please his culture. He's no longer trying to find success, if he ever did, or to make his family proud. He's given up all of that. What he is after is what the Greek text in Matthew calls metanoia, and what the English translates as repentance, which, from what I've read this week, is a rather feeble interpretation. The word John uses has two Greek roots, meta, meaning to go beyond, and noia, which is often translated as mind. So perhaps this word could be translated as to go beyond your mind, to rise above yourself. John's words are rich. They mean so much more than repent. John's words suggest a kind of transformation that our translation from the Latin, not the Greek, does not even imagine. To go beyond your mind takes you into a way of being and seeing the world that is at first unimaginable, but eventually becomes a source of tremendous comfort and healing. It means inviting uncertainty and the unknown into your life and letting it change you. Interestingly, John the Baptist wasn't asking people to convert to a different religion. He was asking, even demanding, that they make a radical change in their way of seeing and acting in the world, and that they bear fruit worthy of this metanoia, this transformative repentance. No wonder the people flock to John to confess their sins, and they come to be washed in the River Jordan. That in itself is a powerful symbol. That river through which God, under the leadership of Joshua, first brought Israel into the promised land. Come to the Jordan, John is saying. Another promised land is at hand. Another promised land is waiting for you. As we read through their eyes, John the Baptist reminds us what we wait for this Christmas. It is God who is coming among us. It is his reign that is at hand. And if this is cause for joy, and it is, as all the lights and carols tell us, it is also cause for transformational repentance. We give lots of attention to joy, but we need to hear the message of transformational repentance because only then are we really hearing John's message. Only then are we really hearing what time it is. Even before John appears in his hairy skins and leather belt, Matthew has told the reader what time it is. In those days, Matthew says in chapter 3, verse 1. These are the first words of today's gospel. At first glance, this means just what it says. In the days when Jesus was in Galilee, John the Baptist came proclaiming repentance in the desert of Judea. But these are also the words with which the prophets Jeremiah and Joel announced the day of the Lord, the day of reckoning and of restoration. Jeremiah says, "In those days and at that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of God." In those days describes the time of God's judgment upon Israel, but also his promise that Israel will not be utterly destroyed. In those days and at that time, God will cause a righteous branch to spring up and bring justice to the land. Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And in Joel, while there are prophetic signs in the heavens and on the earth, God restores the fortunes of his people and pours out his spirit upon all people. In those days, the words of Jeremiah and Joel and Matthew are exactly the same. This is the time the prophets spoke of, Matthew is saying. This is the day of the Lord. John the Baptist is the one Isaiah spoke of, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the day of the Lord. The people recognize who John is and also recognize what time it is. That is why they all go to be baptized by him. Even the leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, come to be baptized, and John berates them. You brood of vipers. If Isaiah's words promise forgiveness and restoration for God's people in those days, John also reminds us that the day of the Lord is also the time of judgment. It is not enough to say that you repent and to be baptized, you must live it too. It is the hypocrisy of the leaders that Jesus objects to in Matthew's gospel. Do not think, John the Baptist says, that because you call yourself a son of Abraham, or because you call yourself a Christian, you can do what you like. You must show the fruit. You have to act like a Christian too. You have to seek to speak what is true. You have to listen to God and His word and follow Jesus Christ and not your own whims, whatever they may be that day. You must bend the knee and let God be king. Even now, Matthew says, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Well, it's like an action shot, isn't it? The woodcutter measuring his blow. Is this fruit any good? In these days, as we prepare for Advent to greet the newborn Christ, God sends John the Baptist to ask us to consider our fruit. And the good news is the possibility of transformational repentance is available to all of us all the time. It is a force that is inextricably connected to both love and to mercy. Its transformative power is to prepare the way as we welcome Jesus Christ into our world, into our lives again this Christmas. Amen. I got a poem that I'd like to share with you by a South African poet called Alan Boesak. It's called Advent Credo. It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss. This is true, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction. This is true. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace. It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule the world. This is true. To me is given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can be peacemakers. This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams. It is not true that our hopes for liberation for humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and for this history. This is true. The hour comes, and it is now, that the true worshippers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. So let us enter Advent in hope, even hope against hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, with courage, Jesus Christ, the life of the world. Amen. Dawn's
Let
going to
us
lead
pray.
us.
Come, Jesus, show us all the way. God of our Advent journey, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and understanding for world leaders and their advisors. For those whose nations are disfigured by violence and war, for those in Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Israel, and Palestine. We pray for those negotiating peace initiatives and those who seek power at any cost. We pray for the leaders trying to rebuild trust and infrastructures after years of civil war and brutality. We pray especially for those conflicts where peace seems so far off and hatred so raw. We pray for those leaders who are subject to unfair pressure from those who are more powerful, for those seeking to balance support for incoming refugees with the needs of their own vulnerable citizens, for those tackling corruption, poverty, and civil unrest, and for those who are the cause of all those things. Come, Lord Jesus, show us all the way of truth, justice, and peace. We pray for nations overwhelmed by flooding and deadly weather conditions. Especially, we pray for the people of Indonesia and Sri Lanka, and for all who are struggling to deal with the devastation left in the wake of cyclones and storms. We continue to pray too for the victims of the terrible fire in Hong Kong, for those still missing, and for their families and friends. We pray for all places of tragedy, especially those which disappear quickly from the news, but where suffering is ongoing and terrible. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us all the way of restoration, healing, and peace. We pray for the leaders of our churches and local communities, for a spirit of knowledge and a heart to serve those entrusted to their care, especially those who live alone, those whose circumstances are desperate, and those searching for meaning and hope. We remember especially the sick, Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, John, Tom, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, David, Tony, Julie, Herbert, Ali, Brian, Alison, and Margaret R. And also we remember and pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School and Tiverton Hospital. And we remember the family of friends who have recently died, Barry Ely. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us all the way of hospitality, friendship, and peace. We pray for those we know this whose Advent journey is slow and painful. For those weighed down by anxiety, by grief, by ill health. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us all the way of courage, hope, and peace. And we pray for one another that we would use our voices positively, our time creatively, and our resources generously this Advent and always. In Jesus' name, Amen.
And the collect for the day, the second Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, purify our hearts and minds so that when your Son Jesus Christ comes again as judge and saviour, we may be ready to receive him, who is our Lord and our God. Amen. And as our saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We give thanks this Advent season that you move among us. inspiring us to greater depths, so that we are eager to say again, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." We look forward to Christmas, the giving and sharing, the trimmings and trifles, but most of all to welcoming you. Lord Jesus, the one who shows us a better way to live, we give thanks for the witness to you, who have gone before us. And we are grateful to stand in that lineage and to pass on faith to those who will come after us. With praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, we journey this Advent in eager expectation of your coming among us. Come, Jesus, show us the way. Amen. And may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for
Thank you,
joining.
everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.
I hope
Thank you
you.
both. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, have a good day. Hope you
feel
feel
better
hope you feel
soon.
better soon.
Yeah.
Bye, thank you very
everyone.
much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Totally.
See you
Bye-bye.
soon.
It's miserable.
God bless.
Take care. Have a
Bye-bye.
great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.